Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Let's talk about the attempted assassination of President Donald Trump from a biblical perspective. We must ask ourselves, was it truly a divine miracle that Trump was not murdered? Well, obviously, that would be a resounding yes, 100%. In fact, we now have photos coming out of Trump's sport jacket, if you will, his suit jacket, having at least one hole in it right over his heart, on his chest. And apparently he was just advised recently to wear a bulletproof vest, which was definitely inspired by God. We can assume that, because this was a miracle. He was hit in the ear, just literally an inch or less of a different trajectory of the bullet. Trump, having turned his head, would have killed him for sure. And let the pundits go into all the concern about this being ordered by the demonic deep state. That's more than obvious. But I want to stick to a biblical perspective here in this message. Yes, indeed, this was an absolute miracle of God. Now, we must ask also, does the fact that God saved Trump from being murdered mean that Trump is where our trust should be? Of course not. The scripture tells us so many times, including in Psalm chapter 60, verse 11 and 12, give us help from trouble. Now, does America need help now? Is America in trouble? Yes, America is in trouble. Well, whose fault is it? It's the deep state's fault? No, I would say it's God's people's fault, because if we turn to Him in repentance and turn from our wicked ways, having humbled ourselves and we're about the Father's business, then He will hear our prayer. He will heal our land. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and that's going to be verse 14 and 15. Let me read that afresh to us. That applies absolutely today. God's promises in Christ are yea and amen. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, notice, not if the world and the world's people, but if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, not my hand, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. This is a promise. He will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now, 2 Chronicles 7, 14 and 15. Now, I want to also point you in your personal study, Jeremiah chapter 18, concerning the judgment of nations and God's work to help and restore and to work in the time of rebellion, when men turn to Him in repentance, God's people, that is, those who profess to know God. So is this a time in our history, Donald Trump, who stands for conservative values, who's much better than the contrasting party? That should be obvious. God-given common sense tells that. So, but is this time a time of restoring America, of backing Trump and his movement? Or is this the time, long past due, I might add, to truly repent, to lay down our lives and to follow and pour into Christ's kingdom? Well, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ has not taken one iota of force, divine force, out of the great commission that he gave to his body, to his people. And that's how you'll know who his true remnant, the few that enter in thereat, that Jesus spoke about, who go down toward the straight gate, where narrow is the way that leads to life, and few, just a few, there be that find it. Matthew 7, 13, and 14. The great commission Jesus gave us is still in full divine force. And you, my friend, if you call yourself a Christian, if you call yourself a son of God through Christ, are fully responsible and expected to fulfill the great commission, to do your part. You are personally accountable to fulfill it. And God is going to bring you into judgment specifically for whether or not you obeyed him. And if you truly are Christ, you will obey him. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, those who love God obey God. John 14, 21, Jesus says, he that has my commandments. Jesus gave us the great commission commandment to go teach and preach his word. And to Matthew and Mark, he that hath my commandments and keepeth or does them, he it is that loveth me. Who is it that loves God? Well, I go to church. That doesn't mean you love God. There's nowhere in the Bible that says go to church. We're to fellowship every day, by the way. That's another topic. Not once a week in a circus that people call church. He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Jesus defined who loves him. He said, if you keep my commandments, you love me. If you don't, it's because you don't love me. Notice verse 15 in John 14, same chapter. If you love me, keep my commandments. See, those who keep the word of God, those who walk in the truth, those who live out the truth, they're not earning their salvation. They're not meriting it, but it clearly proves it's the fruit of a person who truly is known of God and who knows God, who is born again and abiding in Christ. Jesus didn't say to those that believe, John 8, 30 through 32, oh, you're once saved, always saved. Oh, you're cool, man. It's one and done, baby. You're once saved, always saved. You're eternally secure. He had all the opportunity in the world to say that. But no, Jesus said, now that you have believed on me, if, it's only if, you continue in my word, that is, in obedience to it, you walk in the word. If you continue in the word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You got saved? Good. Stay saved by abiding in Christ. Notice we are in John 14, now we're in John 8, and I want to point you to John 15, where Jesus speaks about him abiding in him, and when you do, you're going to bring forth fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. And then he says in verse 6, if a man abide not in me, if he doesn't remain in me after being saved, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Anybody who gets saved and does not continue in Christ, and that would include having the fruit of obedience to him, is going to be cast into hell. You're going to be cast into the fire, and you're going to be burned for all eternity. It doesn't matter what your feelings are saying. That's the facts right there. The scripture does not teach once saved, always saved. Jesus said that you must endure to the end. He told his own 12 that they are going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Matthew 10, 22 and 24, 13. The apostle Peter wrote at the end of the second chapter of 2 Peter, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again, as in like being back when they were lost, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. Notice they knew the way of righteousness. Then after they have known it, that means experience and walk in it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. He's not talking about people that had knowledge. Notice in verse 20 here, that they escaped. Notice, how are you going to escape the pollutions of this world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ if you're not born again? Impossible. That's 2 Peter 2, 20 and 21. So is it time for professing Christians to put their foot down and drive the stake in the ground, to back Trump, to be conservative, to restore America? Or is it really the time that is long past due that we truly repent and we obey God by being about the Father's business? Now, if you're following Christ, then you're about the Father's business, because Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Luke 2:49. And what is the Father's business? Christ told us that the Father's business is to teach his word and to preach it. Let's look at a refresher on what the Great Commission is. The end of the book of Matthew, teaching, verse 20 of chapter 28 of Matthew, teaching them. He says to go, and I'm with you, and go to all nations and do what? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. That's why we have a Bible tangibly in print, so that we can read the Bible together and teach others what it means to follow Jesus. We can see for ourselves with our own eyes what he has commanded us. And one of those things he's commanded us is to go and teach his word. End of Matthew. End of Mark, preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Teach and preach the word of God. That's what he sent us to do. And my friend, if you're not participating in some way or the other, through prayer, through support, through actually evangelizing and teaching the word and being in the word with other people, we make this thing a lot harder than it is, don't we? It's so practical. Well, brother, I don't have a Bible college degree. Well, good, good. Just read the Bible organically for yourselves and with others, led by the Holy Spirit. He's with you every time you're reading it. The Bible is the only book where the author is actually present when you're reading it, every time you're reading it. That's all it takes. You don't have to stand up and get a whiteboard or a chalkboard or start a website. Hey, just open the Bible, the King James Bible, and start reading it with others. Isn't that simple? Well, brother, I'm thinking about having a fellowship at my home, but I don't know if I'm qualified. Yeah, if you're qualified to read and you know Jesus, you're qualified. Just open the Bible and start reading it. And guess what? Sometimes that's the best thing, because no flesh is able to get in the way. You're just shoulder to shoulder with other born-again disciples reading the Word of God. What a concept. Wow. Also, go and preach the gospel. Now, it doesn't matter how you participate. You should be participating in the Great Commission. That is the teaching and the preaching of God's Word, which is the primary thing that Jesus and his disciples and the apostles and prophets did, is they taught and preached the word of God. That's the primary function of those called out as elders in the body of Christ. Every heaven-bound disciple, beloved, of Jesus is participating in advancing his kingdom. They aren't trying to band-aid some political system in some nation that's not even eternal. They're about the Father's business. They're heaven-bound. Their affections are set on things above, not on the things of the earth, Colossians 3, 1 through 4. And when Jesus returns, he's going to find their hand on the plow of his kingdom work. And they're going to be worthy to enter into his kingdom. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, not the things on the earth, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life is over, man. Thank God, because all it brought was misery, shame, and guilt because you were living in sin. Now you're dead and buried with Christ. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Therefore, when Christ, who is our life, he's our eternal life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, who is ye? Notice the conditions. Back up again. Those that seek those things which are above, he's talking about, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Those whose affections are set on things above, not on the things of the earth. They are dead and their lives are hid with Christ in God. And that's who he speaks to specifically when he says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear, also appear with him in glory. And notice he's talking to the ye. You're going to appear with him in glory. If your affections are set on things above, not on the things of the earth, if you are considering yourself and counting yourself to be dead and your life hid with Christ and God. There are conditions for all of God's blessings. And I want you to study that Colossians 3 passage in your private study of the Word of God. Let's observe this. Anybody who is not participating in the work of Christ has already backslidden. They have fallen away. They love this world. And what does the Bible say concerning those who love this world? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible tells us that if any man love this world, the love of the Father is not in him, right? Let's read the verse. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, friends, that's 1 John 2:15. I want you to memorize that. Those who are pouring their time, who are pouring their energy, who are pouring their treasure, their money into anything but the work of the Savior, any cause, they prove they do not love or know the Lord. As we see in Christ's parable of the talents, these people are not using what he has given them for his glory, which would be to put it behind the Great Commission, the teaching and preaching of his word. To do what? To feed his sheep, to establish them, to cause them to be equipped for the work of the ministry. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. Also, by multiplying his kingdom in evangelizing the lost. That's the twofold divine purpose of the Great Commission. See, he wants us to multiply and be fruitful as we abide in him. As we abide in him, we obey him. John 15. Listen, Turning Point USA with Charlie Kirk, for example. I love to see the guy in his little videos. But yet, is that the Great Commission? No, we don't go win arguments. We go preach and teach the word of God, period. But brother, we live in a new generation. Drop it, man. Die to that. That's nothing but human reasoning. It's time that we shut up and just obey God. Just shut up. You and me too. Shut up. Lay an axe to the root. Die. Be crucified with Christ. And when you are, you will be simply obeying him. Yes, sir, Jesus. I'm going to go teach your word. I'm going to be involved in the preaching and teaching of your word. By prayer, first of all, by financial support, and by activity. Turning Point USA. It's amazing. A couple of years ago, Charlie Kirk said that over 270,000 people had to date, that was 2 or 3 years ago, had to date back then supported Turning Point USA. Wow. Just think if just 10%, because you know most of those people are professing Christians that support Charlie Kirk, that support organizations like J Seculo, which we'll get to in a minute. They're well-meaning, but they're completely misguided. You see, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You can be 100% sincere and yet 100% sincerely dead wrong at the same time. If you're not behind the Great Commission, you're not following Christ, folks. Now, I'm not trying to make this into a law, but we need to come to repentance. We have poured, professing Christians have literally for 4 to 5 decades poured hundreds, get this, of millions of dollars, if not probably billions and billions and billions of dollars into organizations like J. Seculo's law firm. He's on Christian radio every day nationwide. But yet, we've got to stop for a moment and examine ourselves and examine the situation biblically. Have things gotten better or worse since we poured billions of dollars into trying to band-aid the problem in America? America's problem is sin, and nothing is going to avert the divine judgment of God outside of people that call themselves Christians repenting and obeying. When you repent, you're going to bring forth fruit meat for repentance. In other words, you're going to obey the Word of God. You're going to be in the Word of God every day. You've already backslidden if you're not in the Word of God every day, and you're going to be a doer of the word. James 1:22, it says, James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 1:22, memorize it. Also, Jesus said, Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, in other words, there's going to be so many who say, but Lord, I knew you. I went to church. I got saved. I went to the altar. Hold on. Jesus said, this is what Jesus said matter to you? Listen to what he said. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Only those who know Jesus and are obeying him are gonna be with him. Everybody else is a counterfeit. You love yourself. That's why you obey the dictates of the flesh. You have not repented. You love your darkness rather than light because your deeds are evil and you don't want to change. And that's why you sit under false teachers who use fake Bibles and their fake fellowships. They're preaching another Jesus, not the Jesus of the Bible. That's why you love them, because you don't want to repent. You don't want to change, and you're going straight to hell if you don't. Jesus said this. He told us exactly who his enemies were. Luke 19:27. But those mine enemies, I'm sorry, who is he addressing? Let's read it again. But those mine enemies. And then he defines who his enemies are, which would not, they refused, that I should reign over them. Boom. Everyone that is a heaven-bound disciple, remnant disciple of Jesus, has died to say, they have repented and laid down their lives. See, Paul said, they that are Christ have already, that is, have crucified the flesh. That's past and present. And the lust thereof, Galatians 5:24. I want you to memorize that verse. Those that are Christ are crucified with Christ. Jesus said, if you don't deny yourself and follow me, you can't be my disciple. Luke 14, verse 27, I believe it is. You cannot follow Jesus unless you're doing it his way. And that's, how is that? Luke 9, 23 and 24. If any man will come after him, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me daily. That's the only way to follow Jesus. Otherwise, you're not following Jesus and you are completely deceived. Listen, this message, when it hits home, you're going to run from every false teacher that you presently sit under and listen to. If they're not preaching the cross, it's because, number one, they aren't taking it up. They aren't following Jesus themselves, and they are false teachers preaching another gospel. The crucified life, the cross, is at the center and the heart of the original gospel. And if it's not at the center of a man's ministry, so-called, then he's teaching another gospel, and he's accursed. And if you keep yourself under that false gospel and ministry, you're going to hell with them. Let me divert for a second. Over and over, you see these videos pop up on social media and YouTube where you got somebody with a prophetic word. I'm not impressed with your prophetic word. I have the more sure word of prophecy, 2 Peter 1:19 through 21. That's the written word of God. It tells us everything we need to know, past, present, and future. Now, I'm not negating that there's the gift of prophecy, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and yet we see tens of thousands and more of people that have viewed and are viewing these prophetic words. Why? Because first of all, 90% of these people are false prophets. Also, they have a huge following because people just simply don't want to repent and get in the word for themselves. The Bible commands you do it. You studied it. Show yourself approved unto God. That's the word of God, the written word, the more sure word of prophecy. Nothing subjective, no human reasoning, no flesh, no filthy dreamers, Jude verse 8, etc. No false prophets that are peddling their wares, their prophetic wares. Whenever you see prophetic, you pretty much know it's a false prophet and a false ministry and a false apostle. See, true disciples of Jesus, they do what? They study to show themselves approved. They don't try to get somebody else to tell them what God said. That's a recipe for eternal disaster. No, they take personal responsibility to get up every morning and seek God in prayer and seek God in thanksgiving and seek God in the study of His Word. They study to show themselves approved unto God. Workmen, it takes work, who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. See, but Jesus says in Luke 19:27, those that are His enemies do not allow, they prove to be His enemies because they don't allow Him to reign over them. They have a mere form of godliness, a formula, a formality of godliness, an outward show of godliness, but they deny the power or the authority of Jesus Christ to reign in their own lives because they're reigning on the thrones of their own hearts. They're enemies of the cross of Christ, Paul said, and the end of Philippians chapter 3, whose God is their belly, and they glory in the things they should be ashamed of. There's so many people running around saying, I'm a Trumper, I'm a conservative. They don't run around saying, if you ask them, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Listen, true Christians are confessing Christ. Otherwise, they're not a Christian. So many people want to say, Trump saved? Why? Why do you say that? Where has he ever said that Jesus Christ is Lord? Nowhere. He has never confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. Wait a minute, he holds the Bible up. Even the devils believe in God and tremble, James 2:19. Anybody can hold the Bible up. That doesn't make them saved. Listen, the Bible says that Jesus himself, listen to this. This is Luke chapter 12, verse 8 and 9. Listen to what Jesus says. I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me, he doesn't confess me before men, shall be denied before the angels of God. So if you're not confessing Jesus Christ before men, you don't know him. You can stand in front of a church building. You can hold a Bible up. You can have conservative beliefs and die and go straight to hell. You are not born again. If you're born again, the testimony of Jesus is coming out of your heart and your life and your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits to see whether they are of God. For many false prophets are gone out among you. 1 John 4:1. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 34 and 35, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever, therefore, shall be ashamed of me and of my words, if you're not speaking Jesus Christ out of your mouth, the name of Jesus Christ and the word of God, I don't believe you're saved. That's the fruit of a lost soul. You can say, I got things right. You can pretend like you said this. Listen, you have not repented. If you truly repent, you will bring forth the fruit of confessing the name of Jesus Christ out of your lips. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. That's Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That is the name of Jesus Christ. Again, finishing in Mark 8:38, whosoever, therefore, Jesus says, shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. All right, we're going to bounce back and finish Luke 19:27. I want you to memorize this verse. I want you to share it with somebody else today. Email, phone call, in person, Luke 19:27. But those mine enemies, and then he defines them, who his enemies are, which would not that I should reign over them. I'm not the Lord of their life. They're lawless. They're running their own life and trying to attach my name to them without surrendering in repentance to me. They have a mere formality, a formula, a form of godliness, but they deny the power, the authority of my reign in their life. Jesus is not the Lord of their lives. They want the crown, but they don't want the cross. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither, bring them to me, and slay them before me. Slay them. They're going to be cut down into hell. Cut down. Depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25. As we come in for a landing here, remember, as I mentioned earlier, Christians or professing Christians have poured endless, incalculable billions of dollars into these band-aid fixes for America. And even by his own admission, Jay Sekulow says it's getting worse. It continues to get worse. It's going to continue to get worse. Band-aids never get to the root of the problem. We have to go to the root, and that begins with personal repentance. Sin is the core problem of fallen mankind, including America. And Christ alone is the solution. Nothing is going to divert his judgment on this sinful nation outside of the true repentance of those who claim to know him. Nothing short of true repentance from those claiming to be Christ will suffice. God will heal no land where those professing to be his do not truly repent and begin obeying him by denying themselves, taking up the cross, and following him. It's time to repent, and when we do, we're going to cease pouring his resources that we're going to give full account of, and our energy into anything but the Savior's Great Commission. We are not here to prop up some nation and to put band-aids on it. I'm speaking as somebody who was brought up to be patriotic. You guys that know me know this has been a transformation for me too. I was a Marine, total of 6.5 years. I would say somebody that is a United States Marine is probably pretty patriotic. And God bless all the military veterans. Doesn't matter where you serve. God bless you. But Jesus Christ is the Lord, the master of the lives of everyone that truly knows him. He is their identity. They are not his enemies. They are those who allow him, who have surrendered in repentance, and they allow him to reign over their lives and nothing and no other. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7:23, you are bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men. That's 1 Corinthians 7:23. The Apostle Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save, or accept in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Galatians 6:14. And let me say this. Don't just listen to scripture when somebody's speaking the word. Capture it and write it on an index card and memorize it. And therefore, it will be written upon the table of your heart. Nothing can replace reading and memorizing holy scripture. So much more to be said, friends. I want you to avail yourself to the hundreds of podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com. It's /audios. Also, we're on every major podcast platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple, we're on Spotify, etc. We're dropping a new podcast teaching and preaching the Word of God each and every morning, year round. To date, over 400,000 downloads have transpired. We're praising God that people are being fed the Word of God all over the world, through the podcast, through the ministry site, safeguardyoursoul.com, through the YouTube channel, social media, etc. In person, the poor are being fed and having the gospel preached unto them and gospel tracts given to them to learn the word of God, to repent and receive Christ. Want to invite you to pray for the supply of the ministry. And if you feel led, we'd love to have you help us. We need the financial fuel, saints, and the prayers of the saints. There's a support, a donate button on safeguardyoursoul.com. You can give one time. You can give on a monthly basis. There are many ways to give. Thank you for considering, and thank you for praying for the fruitfulness and supply of this ministry outreach. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 as we close. Blessed is the man. Who's blessed? Oh, I want to know. I want to be blessed. How many people listening to me want the blessing of God on your life? Here it is. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel, that is the wisdom of this world. No. He walks in nothing else but the word of God. Notice, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, including all of those frauds pretending to be Christians, telling you things like love yourself, learn to love yourself, all of these psychobabble, satanic principles, etc. No. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, the delight of the blessed man, is in the law, or the word of the Lord. And in his law, in the word, doth he meditate day and night. Day and night, round the clock, the word of God is being mulled over, it's being studied, it's being read, it's being walked in by the truly blessed man. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree. This is what his life's going to look like. And he shall be like a tree planted by or next to the rivers of water. That's the greenest, healthiest trees. They're planted right by the stream, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. He's fruitful because his root system, the root system of his life, is being nourished, nutrified by the word of God and the Holy Spirit every day as he seeks the face of the Lord. His leaf also shall not wither. It's going to be green and healthy, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So if you want everything you do to prosper, you've got to walk in the word of God. Psalm 119, 105, thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.